Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest tonight is Toby Johnston, and we're going to be talking about the Owl Moon Lab. And normally, Toby Johnston, normally, you know, I get into the person and the history and so on as the first step, but really, I think the owl, and geez, as I was reading about this book, it's more than just a book. Isn't that right?
Well, I hope so. You could use it as a paperweight. You could set a beer on it.
There's a lot of technologically interactive aspects.
I know. Yeah, I kid, because it's the first book I put out, so I'm new to the authorship world, and maybe people will use it for that. But inside the book is a few surprises embedded are QR codes that are attached to the chapter. So as you read along in the story, the true account of, I guess, my story and the Owl Moon Lab and the Adams family, which is who the book is largely written about as this property. And so as you read along, you get a hold of a QR code that's attached to the chapter. And as you're reading it, you can go transport yourself right to that chapter, because we filmed everything, all the audio, all the video, all the paperwork, all the guests that arrived, the witnesses, the documentary that is coming out about it. It's all embedded in these QR codes. So not my idea. That's through a guy much smarter than me named Doug Hychek of Monster Quest fame. So without Doug, I wouldn't have had that.
Yeah, well, when I read it, it was one of those moments, because I'm a guy that likes to create stuff and I do some marketing and stuff like that. And when I read it, I'm just like, what a great idea. Why didn't I think of this? You know? So I thought it was a really clever idea, really good idea. Now, the title of the book, let's break that down, because I'm not really sure what
the title is. Tongue teaser.
Yeah.
Why the Owl? So the Owl Moon Lab.
Yeah.
Yeah. The name of the book is The Owl Moon Lab, A Paranormal Experiment. And we vacillated a little bit on the title, but the title wrote itself about 2018, when underneath a full moon in the little town of Cottage Grove, Oregon, on Good Friday, I believe it was March 30th, 2018, the moon was also called the Owl Moon, which I think under pagan traditions you would find that the Owl Moon or the Dog Moon or these different full moons have names after animals. So underneath the Owl Moon, we found what appeared to be giant knee impressions in the mud above this property. And we cast these knee impressions, took the hair from the knee impressions, and sent them up for analysis. And once we cast these, now we know they are knee impressions of something plus or minus 1,400 pounds with anomalous hair that doesn't come from anywhere on the charts that we know of. And that was via a gal up in Canada named Cindy Dosen, who works for the Olympic Project, that we found that out. Once we brought this casting back of these giant knee impressions, and we are fast-forwarding through, you know, a lot of history right now to get to where we are to talk about the title, but that's where the name came from, the Owl Moon. The lab portion is kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, because in the process of having legitimate supernatural Sasquatch encounters, UFOs, EVPs, amazing EVPs. I'm also in the process of building a Sasquatch replica. So as a joke, the homeowners who were gracious enough to lend me their garage to build this giant 8.5 foot tall Sasquatch for Ron Moorhead, he said, oh, it's like, you know, Frankenstein's laboratory now in my house. And so because of that, all these things started to pile up. So the Owl Moon Lab, although we did do experiments in this house, on the property, they were rudimentary at best compared to what I would do now. And so that's where it got its name.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you mentioned right there a couple of different phenomena. You mentioned Bigfoot. You mentioned EVPs. You mentioned UFO sightings. And those are things that are often put together, but often you find, you know, UFO people who are like, you know, don't talk to me about EVPs, or you find Bigfoot people who are like, it's just a big ape, right? But it seems, but we're sort of putting them together into more of a, like, sort of a synthesized thing. Are these related phenomenon, or are they separate?
You know, it's an ecosystem of weirdness, and you can't push one phenomena out from the ecosystem if it doesn't fit your worldview or your narrative. I mean, if you go back to John Keel, you would look into the Mothman prophecies and say, oh, we just have this apparition that seems to, you know, be a harbinger of doom or death, and that's the end of the story. But that's not where John Keel left off at the end of it. I mean, I remember seeing pictures of him and video of him showing Sasquatch impressions on Johnny Carson or David Letterman. So it takes you in these weird directions, whether or not you want to go on them. What we argue, and it's not really an argument, it's just the way that this phenomena goes, is when the phenomena comes to you and comes to your property, more often than not, these people are open about it and let you come live at their house like I did and write a book about it. They get the stranger phenomena. Now, why would that be? Why is that? I'm not quite sure. It can be hostile at times. It can be friendly at times. It can be scary at times. But one thing that it isn't is predictable. The only thing predictable about it is it's not predictable. And so when I say we have these crystal clear EVPs, we weren't looking for them. We're trying to record Bigfoot audio, Bigfoot vocalizations. Like if we could get, you know, anywhere near what Ron captured as far as samurai chatter, we would have been thrilled. But it just refused to stop there. And so the more that we were kind of honest with what we were trying to do, and we were a little confused about what we were trying to do. Were we actually trying to understand the phenomena on its terms, or were we thrill seekers? Right. And we had to be honest with the phenomena, and I know that sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, like I said, we're fast-forwarding through 15 years of me chasing after the phenomena previous to this. And I had been told that if you want to get close to it, you have to get close to extended experiencers. These are people that have backyard Bigfoot issues. And once you do, be prepared, because the wheels probably will fall off as far as your expectation of this being a giant relic hominid. And I was game for it. I mean, I had waited so long, I mean, 15 years to get into a house like this. And so we engaged it. And I spent the better part of almost a year straight living and breathing, writing this book. Although I didn't really think it was going to be a book, I thought people would appreciate the story. And I just wanted to have a sighting. Like, that was my whole goal, is like, can I please see one already? You know, I've chased down this damn dirty ape for the last 15 years. Please, just give me a sighting.
Right.
And so... kind of a funny problem to have is like, I just want to see a Bigfoot, but I keep running into these.
I don't care. Something is
like, just getting these darn ghosts and, you know, UFOs. Like,
yeah. And I was all too happy to engage those phenomena too, because, you know, as a young man, when you walk into the library at school, where's Bigfoot? It's lined up with ESP, telekinesis, UFOs, all of it, right? I mean, and so that was already embedded. Well, it turns out that it is on the proper section of the library shelf, that Bigfoot actually does belong in that category. And I don't waver from that position at all after everything that has happened and continues to happen, because this phenomena has a half-life. It follows you. You look at the work of Skinwalker Ranch, they talk a lot about the hitchhiker phenomena, where things follow you back home. And it will tip its hat big time to you and say, oh, yeah, we know where you live. We know you recognize this object because we left that right there on your coffee table, and here it is again. So these kind of things you can't say no to. There's no room for there being hijinks or there being a hoax, not with all the audio and video and eyewitness testimony.
Garden of Lights is taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge, featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Ready. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is part of Operation Holiday Salute, honoring our veterans and the men and women who are currently on active duty for their courage, bravery, and sacrifice. North Valley Distributing at 530-222-1500 wants to thank the brave men and women who have taken an oath and have proudly served or are currently serving our country and the American people. North Valley Distributing, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Hi. I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
You know, being a thrill seeker, you know, it, when he said that, it triggered something in me that I think at the beginning of understanding of any topic, that there has to be some level of thrill seekerness. I watched a movie about a guy building the first deep water dive suit with a hose, and that guy had to have been some level of thrill seeker slash scientist. Or Jacques Cousteau building his big crazy superboat. You know, there had to have been a thrill seeker aspect there of somebody willing to go out there and chase down God knows what. So I think you're allowed to be both. I think you're allowed to be both. But yeah. How'd you get connected with these people? Were you chasing leads down, or did they come to you? Was it divine how they just kind of showed up to you when you needed them most? Or?
No, it's a small community, really, of Bigfooters. And once you kind of get involved with going to a conference or a camp out, word gets around. And in this case, Daryl Adams, who is a recent retired contractor, had moved up from California to Oregon and attended something called Beachfoot, had a conversation with Ron Moorhead and said, hey, I know Tobe. He, you know, lives right outside of where you're moving. Maybe you can go talk to him and he can take you out in the field sometime. And I'd kind of, you know, taken my foot off the gas for a while and hadn't really looked into the phenomena for about 2 years or so. But when Daryl got a hold of me, it just was the perfect time, and so I ended up going in the woods with him and finding these knee impressions, which really, then, without finding those knee impressions, I don't know where the story would have been maybe everything still would have happened in the order it did. Maybe it was destined to be talked about. It seemed, and that's the way some of these stories go, is that they seem like they are waiting for certain people to arrive at a certain time. It's almost like the tumblers in a lock, and everything has to line up. And especially if you're in a liminal state, you know, that seems to be key. If you're in the middle of a big transition, and, you know, what are we in right now globally? So who knows what's about to happen? I mean, we had all the UFO stuff unfolding, which I don't think is by accident. Here we are in the middle of this huge transition with something called the Great Reset, this new order being established. And now all of a sudden we have, you know, agreement that we might have off-world vehicles. And, you know, it's a very strange time. So the same thing was happening to me on a smaller level, a big life transition. And at that point, boy, you know, there was so much that happened immediately that I'd already been accustomed to. For example, the couple asked me to move into the house, and so I brought my 16 or 17 foot long camper and all my worldly possessions and parked them right outside their house. And we basically wanted to see if these knocks and hits that were coming around the property could be recorded. And so the long-term study of figuring out whether or not these were only Sasquatch sounds began. And so 1,400 hours worth of audio was recorded for about a year. And I'm being kind with that number. I think it was actually more. So I'm working full-time, recording audio and video full-time, and then coming back and trying to play, you know, Bigfoot.
Right.
Only
right.
It refused to just be Bigfoot, because then these EVPs started showing up. And the EVPs were so complex that we knew it wasn't Sasquatch, because we were hearing human language. We were hearing English. There was the circumstances of how this property came to be, which was kind of odd, which also is a timing issue. The people that owned the property before had suddenly sold the house. A whole family had lived there and moved only 45 minutes down the road and sold it for about $35,000 less than asking price at the top of the real estate market. And shortly afterwards, the eldest son commits suicide.
Okay.
So we kind of find all these things out as we're looking for Bigfoot. Like, why did these people move out? Why would this kid kill himself? Well, we found out that his bedroom, his old bedroom, was probably the most haunted part of the house. And we didn't plan on having a haunting at the same time, but this is where the EVP started, was in this kid's bedroom where eventually he would commit suicide. And he ended, you know, the EVP we got said, "I'm dead." And it was, you know, it sounded like a child's voice, you know, probably 14 years old. And so it was a controlled area as much as we could. And, you know, at first you're trying to rule out whether or not this is some kind of sound contamination, if anything is a contamination, whether or not it be just for lark of someone playing a game with you, or whether or not you're hearing what you want to hear. Because I totally had Bigfootitis. Like, I'm a Bigfoot researcher, right? I'm out here doing this, so I'm going to have confirmation bias. So that's when I started inviting other people out, just like, hey, I need confirmation here. Let's all leave out recorders, and you go home and listen to what you got. And that's when the gifts start showing up. And by gifts, I mean objects of significance meant for you. And they were left in a real specific place so you would find them and nobody else. One of the most common striking examples is after we were looking for a taxidermied rabbit. And we were building the Sasquatch replica, and I thought, well, what better example than to put a rabbit maybe at the base of Bigfoot's feet to symbolize the rabbit hole? And so we're looking on
scale.
Yeah, looking for a taxidermied rabbit. Well, I get home from work, and there's a dead rabbit with a rock lodged in its head sitting in front of my trailer. Now, it's so fresh in the middle of summer, it has no bugs on it and no predation marks, just a rock. And it's laying right in front of my camper. My girlfriend gets a hold of me and says, "Wow, thank God they didn't leave you a snake. You hate snakes." And 3 days later, there's a snake with its head ripped off sitting right where the rabbit was left.
Yeah, we need a statue of the neighbor's kid to put under the the Bigfoot, and you would have found something absolutely terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it got real, you know, real quick. So it's very hard to turn away from death. You know, here we are asking for something dead, you know, having barbecues. They know that we're meat eaters, but, you know, I'm looking for a rabbit, a taxidermy rabbit. They give me something even better. They give me a fresh cottontail rabbit with hardly any damage to it. The snakes seem to be a joke. So those are just two really brief examples. And so as people are reading along in this book, they get to the chapter on the snake. They take their smartphone. They scan the QR code. It takes you to the moment I hop out of my Jeep Commander with my iPhone and see this rabbit sitting there. Call Daryl out and say, you got to see this, man. Stop whatever you're doing. And so to have those moments, you know, to be transported automatically as you're reading along, if it wasn't seamless, we wouldn't have done it. But it is seamless. As long as you have a good internet connection, you just scan along and away you go.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. Is there, you know, because you're in there and you're trying to be detached, logical, try to figure out what's going on there. I never thought of this as being a problem, but is there a point where you're just all like, well, did the ghost or did the Bigfoot lead me the snake?
Yeah.
You know, and what exactly am I even able to untie this knot of two different things that I still don't know what they are, and yet I'm supposed to untie the knot?
Well, yes and yes. There's no way to know for certain because this stuff loves to keep the secrets coming. The clues and the questions are pretty much all you really have for the most part. But this story, there was so much physical evidence. I mean, it started with these knee impressions, which at first I thought, well, I do a podcast about the paranormal. I'll just film the process of me casting these probable bear knees that are squatted down. So that's how we took it. Just like, we'll show people the process of casting. Hmm. But when they came back as 1,400 pounds and anomalous hair, and then an orthopedic surgeon looks at them and says, those are your giant human knees, but they're not human. So that's where we kind of thought it might end. I was ready for all this to end with the knees, but then we had these giant handprints show up on three different occasions around the house. And they're large, greasy handprints, three times the size of any man I've ever seen. And they were just embedded or infused onto the pickup truck, onto the garage, onto my trailer, with hair attached into the greasy impression of where the fingers were. And so to see that, I'd never cast hand impressions before, let alone, you know, tried to extract any kind of cellular DNA or anything off of it. But we kind of went to the school of hard knocks and would laugh about, like, who's going to go down to the Dollar Tree to make their own, you know, $5 forensic kit and come back and try to cast these hand impressions.
Thank you. Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from four different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9, or you can choose from a variety of car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free, or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
This is not ghost behavior. Now, we did have apportation phenomena at the property, and we actually filmed apportations not occurring on camera, occurring off camera. And if anybody doesn't know what an apportation is, I don't think this is Bigfoot related. But if we're to go with the theory that this was a portal, and we had the phenomena of all these things coming freely in and out, to record an apportation happening is very rare. I've only seen maybe one actually happen on camera. Let me cut you out there.
This is not a word I'm familiar with, but from the context, does that mean the opening of a portal?
Right. Well, it could. An apportation would be a physical object appearing or disappearing out of nowhere in live time. So imagine pennies falling from heaven, right? Mm-hmm. This is one of the phenomena people would talk about. In fact, coins in general falling from the sky or something associated with poltergeist. In fact, in Poltergeist, I believe, there's several apportations in the movie that happen. And so we would have these happen. The only thing is that these apportations have a sound to them. And trust me, this is a lot to take in here in the next few seconds, but we were trying to come up with many theories as we could, so we could study the phenomena, understand the phenomena. And when we recorded, 1,400 hours worth of audio, we kept hearing these strange tapping, hitting, reflexive sounds, almost like something, when you hit a snare drum and it kind of makes a ta-ta-ta-ta-ta sound, an echo to it. It's called a flam or a reflexive tone. We would hear these sounds. Maybe it was like a fingernail clicking the side of the recorder. The only thing was is, a lot of times we're recording in the middle of a gravel bed. So there really was no way for anything to get into the recorder without an approach sound in the gravel. And more often than not, we would get these clicky, tappy sounds. The point being is that I think some of these sounds were physical objects being gifted to us. So is that just Sasquatch? Man, I don't know. There's so many examples of there being something other happening than Bigfoot on this property. And people were telling us that as much. The farmers around us were all kind of weird, and they would talk about strange things that have happened behind them in the hillside. One of the guys was a soil farmer we called Wormy, and he was an interesting fella. And so Wormy would come down once in a while and make fun of us because we're looking for Sasquatch. And finally he goes, well,
got to be sobering when Wormy's making fun of you.
When Wormy's making fun of you. When Wormy makes digs, no pun intended. He kept saying, why are you looking in the forest when you should be looking in the sky for the chandelier? And I said, what? And he said, yeah, there's a flying something in the sky. It looks like a swinging, glowing chandelier. Ugh. And it drops down below the forest level. And we would catch him out at weird times at night looking for UFOs with his wife. And one day he shows up with this giant red mark on his forehead about the size of, you know, a basketball that hits you, plonks you on the head. And he has no idea where that red mark comes from. And that red mark stays on his forehead for a period of like 2 or 3 months, all through the summer of 2018. And he went on to explain, you know, how his wife gets hit in the face by giant rays of light out in the back. You know, you can't help but kind of go there with there being maybe an abduction scenario happening here that Wormy's not going to talk about. But so all the neighbors are telling similar types of strange stories. So now we know it's not just us. They're not all in on it. It's not like a, you know, a Scooby-Doo episode. And so we start shooting a documentary. In fact, well, I'm co-producing a documentary that comes out next year in February called Flash of Beauty, which tells this story. But what better than to have two separate camera crews come out and basically say, hey, come down here whenever you want. I'm not going to be here. Have your own experiences. You tell me what you think's going on. And when they start having experiences, that's when I was the happiest, because I knew that they were skeptical of the claims, because we were, you know, after I'm telling you here the last 25 minutes of some of the claims, people are a little bit skeptical. And so they start having their own experiences. Apers, people that see the phenomena only as being Gigantopithecus or Sasquatch as being a relic hominid, started to have supernatural encounters. And a lot of these people were willing to go on camera and talk about it because it was so real, so transformative, so in your face. And so that's made me the happiest, is that I've been able to step away. I've actually moved out of state. And now the Owl Moon operates all on its own. People are having their own experiences, probably like they've had for thousands of years in that location. And so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, that's about 10% of the story.
I was actually about to ask about whether you, how far back you thought these sort of phenomena go in that area. Did you find any information about like the history of that, or?
It gets into the word Hebron, which is, takes a sharp turn out of nowhere as far as the story is concerned. And I write about who the Hebron are, why, the Hebron might be attached to this property. But in short, we believe they were a group of religious fundamentals that moved out west along the Oregon Trail and set up shop in what is now the Cottage Grove Lake Bed. And if you look into the Hebrons and who they were previous to them being pioneers, you go back to the Book of Genesis, and it talks about the land of Hebron. Well, the last place that the Nephilim were seen was near Mount Hebron. And so for that connection to come up, for the Hebron people to be associated with the story, at least the Church of Hebron, there's a Hebron Road, for the word Nephilim to be attached to this, and if anybody doesn't know what the Nephilim are, you know, one third of the angels came down and impregnated, you know, human women and begot their own spirits. And one of the theories, of course, is that we're looking at a paranormal. If we're looking into a paranormal link of Sasquatch, and they do have some kind of, you know, superpower, maybe this is where they derive it from. And so this link of the Hebron people refused to go away, and it seemed to be constantly toying with us that this has, that the land has unique links to Israel, that the land has unique links to Ukraine, and the people of the Ukraine, and
Israel, what's in Ukraine?
Well, there was a great immigration that happened, migrants heading out to the Ukraine and setting up shop, and it seemed to tip its hat to us that that was important for us to know. I'll just leave it at that. And so some of the EVPs is what I'm alluding at, led us down these strange directions. Now, is that an end road? It could very well be that maybe that's not an important detail, but
I think one of many roads.
Yeah, I think it might be, because there's people don't talk about these end roads enough. You know, like the fingernail tapping on the microphone. Bigfooters don't talk about that sound. They don't think it's important. I think it's hugely important, because you can get that sound when you put it inside a cardboard box locked away inside of a house. How is that possible? And then you find strange handprints outside the door. You find gifts outside the door. It seems to be some kind of introduction to, like, hey, I know you have a recorder in here. Here I am. And, you know, thus begins the initiation. Now, is it only with recorders that this happens? Largely, audio seems to be okay. Camera equipment is no bueno as far as Sasquatch is concerned in general. We just don't seem to have, you know, the permission slip to freely video record them. And I have my own theories on why that would be, but when it comes to audio equipment, that's what I always suggest.
You know, unfortunately, this kind of undoes my previous question. Earlier, you were talking about how going down to the dollar store and making your makeshift mold, trying to get the DNA, you hadn't done this before. So it kind of prompted the question in my head, do you think if science took all this stuff seriously that we would have this figured out by now? But I guess this moves on to the question, when you started this, it sounds like you were more of a nuts and bolts Bigfoot researcher, and by the end of this, you're kind of hands up in the air going, I'm not sure anymore. Is that
I was
accurate?
Just a fan. No, I was literally just a fan with a, you know, technical theater background. And so I had an artsy fartsy background, and I literally just wanted to meet these people that had spent their lives looking for this. And I, of course, I wanted to engage the phenomenon, see the phenomenon. I was an outdoorsy guy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, in part, mostly you're correct. It was a transition point from having no position to having a very definite position.
Gotcha.
And, you know, there's always a price to pay for your position in life. But when your position weeps results, I have no problem with that position, and there's no sacrifice with it. Like, if people aren't down with my theories, it's all the better for me because I don't have them out in these areas here chasing down these rabbit holes, you know, in my way. And I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, but as it relates to the phenomenon here, what you find out quickly is that people get, you know, they get pretty ruthless as far as, you know, how they treat you if you go down on a certain road they don't approve of, and I just never sought anybody's approval.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and The Deep Thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only about it, God can't about it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
These creatures, these beings, and however uncomfortable that is, they are very godlike. You see, if you were to look up at Zeus in Greece and see a giant marble statue of a Greek god, right next to it could be Sasquatch, as far as I'm concerned, because they can do the same things that the old Greek gods could do. And they're built like that. I mean, those were the giants of old, by the way. And here we go back to the argument of the Nephilim. You know, these, in some cases, cannibalistic giants, right? This is what the Native Americans would say, but that wasn't my experience with these beings. I did, to fast forward, have an occasion where I saw something, finally, and I won't give it all away, but it was a compelling bit of visual evidence at the Al Moon Lab that I finally got a glimpse of something to say that had to be them, or at least a neighbor of theirs. Right. And it's still happening at the area as well, although there is clear cutting going on really close by and between. Actually, there's clear cutting to the left and the right of it, and it's squeezing in closely to where a lot of this phenomena happen, because most of the phenomena happen behind the house on the hillside. And this is where the continued story of this documentary called Flash of Beauty comes out in February 2002, and it tells a two-part chapter of Flesh and Blood, and the other chapter, our chapter, the more unusual paranormal link to what Sasquatch may be. And so that's what we've been working on besides this book, is doing an edit on this documentary. It'll be globally released worldwide, not just a YouTube situation. And so it's an exciting documentary. It's one of the most beautiful documentaries on the paranormal that's ever existed. And I didn't edit or film a single portion of it. It was all Jill Remensnyder and Brett Eichenberger out of Portland. But I've been a part of it for the last year and a half, and we're about ready to release it to the world.
You know, in your discussion about this, you know, that prompts a good question. In our world, we seem to be having this major dichotomy going on, or at least it's presented to us that way. And in the UFO community, that seems to be the case too. People seem to find somewhere to to argue about it. So in the UFO community, you got these nuts and bolts guys, and then you got these sort of spiritual, more metaphysical ideas coming in, and they're kind of butting heads at these conferences and stuff. Is that starting to happen in the Bigfoot community? Do you get the old guard, like, sitting there going, like, ah, you young kids and your elementals?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and things simmered down after a couple beers. You know, at first, it's a little awkward, uncomfortable, because, you know, maybe you've talked smack about another person and they show up, or there's drama. You know, it's... But if you stay out
especially
of that...
Especially in the Bigfoot community, because you know it's a lot of armed mountain men.
Yeah, very armed mountain men.
Right, yeah.
And the real Bigfoot's already. All along.
Right, right. Yeah. That's when you get out your sponsorship to Manscaped. But no, I've learned to avoid most of that and deflect it with as much humor and as much alcohol as possible, preferably right. In that order. But it's not, no, you hear about it, and but no, it's, for the most part, it's moving, even though that the aper community is reluctant, it is moving away from that argument, and they know it. And it has to do a lot with the Pentagon releasing this UFO evidence. I mean, if we can get an out-and-out press conference to say that we are not alone, here are the beings, here are the craft. And this is the way it's worked. It changes everything as far as the Bigfoot conundrum, the ghost conundrum. I mean, what Bob Bigelow, Robert Bigelow, interested in now besides Skinwalker Ranch? He's interested in life after death. That's his main goal right now, is understanding what happens after we die. And so to have those things unfold in the Al Moon Lab seemed appropriate, because it started with Bigfoot. It went right into the paranormal, wormholes and, you know, orbs, and then it moved into the world of the ghost. And so life after death, is that the ultimate question that we should be asking? Maybe. There's even a little bit of a surprise in there regarding COVID. At the very end of the book, I had to do a little rewrite, because there was an acknowledgement of, well, definitely an acknowledgement over COVID. So we wrote about that. Well, they wrote about it, really. And so, yeah, really interesting questions. I think there's probably more interesting questions than answers, and I don't even know if we know the right questions to ask.
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of the time we hear these things and we start to go like, oh, whatever, you know, now they're throwing in UFOs and stuff. But, you know, you can't understand an animal unless you understand what it eats. And so now you got to understand the plant. You can't understand the plant unless you get the dirt in the air and so on and so forth. So, you know, I don't think it's all that shocking that maybe mysteries would be tied together in a way that even just by a filament, you know, just even by a really narrow way to put it. Tie, you know. Okay. So where's the best place for people to find out more about you?
Oh, well, so if they want to listen to the show, it's kind of in hiatus right now because we're moving from Washington to Idaho, and that's going to be about a four-month operation. And so, but if they want to listen and follow along, they can. It's called Strange Brow Radio, is my podcast. It was a podcast conceived in a pub, hence the word brow, which is the German iteration of brewhouse. So Strange Brow Radio, B-R-A-U. And there you'll find archived episodes anywhere you can find a podcast and YouTube and all that goodness. And, yeah, great. If they want to get a copy of the book, then go to strangebrowradio.com or go to Amazon and just type in Al Moon Lab. And if they do and write a little review afterwards, that's the big thing that helps out the authors, is just putting a simple review and just let me know what you thought of it.
Awesome. And what's next for you after you move, of course?
Well, I'm working on a new book. That'll come out next winter, I think. And then we're gearing up for this documentary. That's the big one. I just got done finishing my second Sasquatch. It's in a museum in Forks, Washington, home of Twilight. And it's called Sasquatch the Legend.
The building of the – you've done it before.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I've done it before. I sold it to a minor league baseball team in a little town, Eugene, Oregon, on the first one. And so this new one is, you can go see it if you're ever in Forks. Not too many people go to Forks. But if you're ever in Forks, there is an outstanding museum and gift shop called Sasquatch the Legend right off Highway 101, the last town before you hit the Pacific Ocean. And there's Biggie. He's 8.5 feet tall and sitting in the corner there at this gift shop. So I just finished that project, and I'm working on other reconstructions of cryptids as well, different types of cryptids.
Let me ask you an honest question. Do you really think that Kara looks like she'll never find herself in Forks?
Oh, my God.
Go Team Edward. And,
she'll and find herself in Forks.
I have been to Forks. I will have you know, I was in Forks years before the books came out.
Whatever. Oh, I was so into it. True. I was there before it happened.
No, because my grandparents live up there. It's the whole thing.
Okay, well, if you're ever there, Kara. Yeah. Now you have a home.
Oh, my God. Just going to roast me before we close out this episode.
All right, Toby, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Toby Johnson here on Radio Wasteland. We've been talking about his book, The Owl Moon Lab, A Paranormal Experiment. You can find that on his website or on Amazon, just like everything else in the world. And if you need any of those links, come to our website, radiowasteland.us. Thank you very much, Toby, for being on the show.
All right. Nice to meet everybody.
All right. See you.
Thank you.
Make this New Year's Eve a night to remember at the Reading Garden of Light. Featuring two stages of live music, food trucks and bars throughout the gardens provided by Mosaic, all surrounded by a magnificent holiday light show. Tickets available at turtlebay.org.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Turn your someday into today. The Shasta College spring semester begins January 19th, and now's the time to register for classes. First-time, full-time students, get your first 2 years tuition-free. At Shasta College, we'll teach you the skills, give you the knowledge, and provide the training you need to unlock your potential. Reskill, upskill, or get transfer ready at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/apply.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second